Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Father, for this wonderful time you've got us in. We're seeing miracles. We're seeing all kinds of things in the spirit realm. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you for what you're doing in us and the things that are, man, it just boggles my mind, Lord, to understand and perceive the magnitude of what's going on. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're all a part of it. And it's you working in us and working in the world too. Father God, we just praise you and thank you for all that's going to happen tonight. I thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and, into the things that you'd have us to speak about. Lord, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus, that went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for us so that we could not have to suffer the same things that he did, Lord, other than to walk in the power and authority and the humbleness and the love that he exuded while he was walking on earth. And Father, I thank you for the humbleness that he also showed us to walk in that. Father God, and the name that he gave us, he said, you can use my name, and when you use my name, it's going to happen. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time for everybody. And I thank you for your joy and your peace upon everybody here and your healing power also in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I'm going for it. Let me pray just one time, Missy. I'm going to pray for Jeff. Father, I lift up Jeff to you, and I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him, the mighty healing power of your word going through him, healing his whole complete body. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave him. I command that spirit of infirmity to leave him in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that he is free of all of that infirmity in Jesus' name, and all the symptoms go with it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing Jeff. Everybody agree? Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay, Missy.
Tomorrow, Merle and I are leaving to go see my family. My niece Haley and her fiance are getting married on Saturday. And she asked me to do her hair, so that's one thing I want to pray about. Lord, you know, Haley and Austin don't know you yet, Lord, but I believe that they are going to repent and believe in you and come into your kingdom, Lord. And I ask you to bless their marriage, Lord, and make it a strong bond in you. And I praise you and I thank you for that. And Lord, I just ask you to give me the ability to do Haley's hair the way she wants me to do it, Lord, according to the picture, Lord. Give me the ideas, the simplest way and most effective and easy way, but still look good for her, that she'd be happy with it, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for doing that, Lord, and that everything goes smoothly on Saturday, and that Father, we have a safe trip there and back, and great visit with all the family, and you just guide and direct when I go see who and who I go see and when, and who we go see and when, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this time with my family, and praise you and thank you, Lord, that you're going to shine forth from Merle and I both, Lord, and that it's going to be a blessed time in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes, we believe it with him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Benjamin?
You got me.
I got you, buddy.
So this is a request You okay? What are you talking about? This is a request for Karen. She's been hanging out with her friend Bianca, and Bianca claims to be a Christian. She claims to believe in God and all that, but I would say she's. And I'm not making a judgment call. This is also what Karen sort of agrees with me with. She's a bit lukewarm. And she wants to be more in with God, but she's doing things that she really shouldn't be. Maybe she doesn't understand some of the things that she's doing, but she's going out to nightclubs and having fun, I'll say that, and doing things that she shouldn't be doing. And Karen was out with her the other day for dinner. This is what Karen told me, and it kind of led to them going out to other places. And anyways, I won't go further than that. She's faithful. She didn't do anything, but her dad kind of had to give her a talk to when she got home. And I just don't want what Bianca is doing to go into Karen. And I also want to pray for Bianca as well.
Okay.
So I'll start off with that. Lord Father God, we thank you so much for the friendship between Bianca and Karen. They've been friends for a long time, and they didn't talk for a while, and you kind of brought her back. Lord Father God, we pray that any sort of spirit of rejection or any sort of spirit of lukewarmness, any sort of spirit of not being able to feel your love that's in Bianca right now, I cast it off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your cleansing power of your Holy Spirit to work through every person. And by faith, we see the finished work that you have for them. And Lord Father God, I pray a hedge of protection over Karen. Lord Father God, I pray that you use Karen as a beacon of light, as the salt of the earth and the ambassador of the kingdom of God for Bianca to see truth, love, and holiness of separation unto you, Father. We thank you so much for doing this for us. We thank you so much. We see it by faith with the spiritual eyes that you gave us. We thank you, Father, for this perfection. And we thank you, Father, for her own little pilgrim's progress and this amazing testimony that you're going to have through her. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We believe everything he prayed is coming to pass. Thank you, Lord, for giving wisdom and discernment to Karen, in Jesus' name. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
That's all we get is hi. Just hi.
God bless everyone.
There you go. Amen. I want to read something to you. I don't know if I read you something. I don't even know where I got it, but I ran across it a few days ago, and it just struck me as I needed to say, needs to be said. And the name of it is Don't Shrink Back from Being Used by God. I don't even know where it came from. Don't Shrink Back from Being Used by God. As I use the name of Jesus, according to the word, in the power of the Spirit, I have the secret that the apostles used to shape the world. Jesus said, you do the asking, and I'll do the doing. John 14:14, he says to see. If I don't pray or command in his name, I don't give him the opportunity to manifest his power. His name on my lips is the same as if Jesus were present and operating. If I shrink back, God has no pleasure in me. See Hebrews 10:38. This truth has spurred me on through many rough places. God can act through me. God has put his power in my hands and said, use my name, my word, and my power according to my will. And I may think that the need is too great, that the sickness is unconquerable, and that my faith is too small. All this may be true, but I have confidence in the name of Jesus, not in my own faith, in that great name. I command the sickness to go. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Satan dares not face a warrior who is clothed in Christ's righteousness and who knows the power of that mighty name. God's integrity, his omnipotence, and Christ's unlimited power back up my command and all and are all at my disposal. I use the name of Jesus, though I may tremble when I do it. It's not that I am great, but that his name is great, and I don't need to feel its power. I know it. Everything must bow to the all-conquering name of Jesus. And what the rod was in the hands of Moses, Christ's name is in my mouth. It was not Moses who was great, but the power of God in the rod that was great. And the only question is, do I understand what God means in giving me the use of his name? To use Jesus' name does not require any unusual faith because his name belongs to me. He has put absolutely no limitations upon the use of it. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Okay. Does anybody see anything wrong with that? I said yes or no. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. Can you read the part again? You think there might be a discrepancy in?
Well, I don't think there is a discrepancy so much as what does that mean when the Lord said, when you pray in my name, you shall have it? Now, think about what the teachings that you've already had. Yeah, Julie.
In his name, Christ's name is his nature, character, and his authority. It's kind of like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know it's his will for something. That's how I see that.
Yeah. We stand in his place. We stand in Jesus's place. We can, it's just okay to say in the name, and it's great. And it tells us to do that. You don't have to if you know who you are in Christ, do you? Hello? No, you don't. If you know who you are in Christ, you can just say, devil, leave in Jesus' name. You don't have to say in Jesus' name. You say, devil, leave. Yeah, Ben caught that, didn't you? You have to leave. They have to leave because they know that you know who you are in Christ. And when they know that you're walking this righteous, holy walk that God has us on, your authority supersedes their authority. You say, get out of there. I'm starting to say it again. See how automatic it comes. And it's okay to say it. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to say it. But I'm trying to get you to understand that it's not what that phrase in the name of Jesus that makes it go. It's who you are in Christ that makes that demon go and that body be healed. And whatever it is that you believe, that circumstance to go away, that mountain to go away. Now, Barbara, go ahead.
But does he want us to say in Jesus' name? I mean, even though we know who we are in Christ, doesn't he want us to say in his name?
You can if you want to. That's fine.
Yes, okay,
you can
I've done
if
both.
You want to. Yeah. But yeah. What I'm trying to get people to see is that it's not so much as what comes out of your mouth, it's what is in your spirit. And what's in your spirit is what? Jesus? Holy Spirit? Yeah, Matthew.
Hey. You know, I've thought over this as well, and, you know, the Lord gives us the authority to do it, whether we say it's in his name or not, but I always thought of it as, you know, for those that are receiving the healing, or even the non-believers who may be watching, that, you know, they know that they're who healed them, you know, in the name of Jesus.
That, you know, whatever comes to your mind, all I'm trying to get people to understand is it's not the magic phrase in his name that does anything. It's who you are in Christ that does it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was just saying more for like onlookers.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. You can use it. And like I did, it's almost automatic in some of us, you know, really. But what I'm trying to focus on is it's us. It's Jesus in us that has the power to do the healing and the deliverance. Okay. Anybody else got anything to comment on that? Yeah, go ahead. Andrew or Ben?
I guess it would be what it says in Revelation 3:20. If anyone wants a good scripture verse for it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And of course, we are supping on the Lord. We have a promise from him. We have a wonderful, exceedingly great and precious promises to be partakers of the divine nature. And that's what we were supposed to believe. Sometimes I wonder, you know, whether or not they say in the name of Jesus because of maybe a bit of immaturity in them or something, and God's still working with them. And, but, you know, we've heard of things like, it'd be nice to get three, you might get 3 years out of them, you know, it's not a very nice thing to say that about someone who's supposed to be saved, you know. They might say things like, go away till you learn something and then come back. You know, that's not the way you would treat a younger brother, even if you were trying to do schoolwork at the dining room table. We want the full potential of what God has for us to have, whether you have 5 talents to produce 100%, two talents, or even 1 talent to produce 100%. And that's what we want. We want the Lord to be our complete trust and leading. So, and like I told my son earlier today, there is a new Babylon today. It's written of in the last book. And don't eat Babylonish meat and don't drink any Babylonish wine. And don't let them change your name, because it's not the book of Belteshazzar. It's the book of Daniel. And it's Hananias, Mishael, and Azariah, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay. So that was hard for me to remember those three names. Cause it's amazing how they would even teach you the Babylonish names of all those people, but I guess Belteshazzar is just too hard to say, and they say Daniel for that guy. Anyway, don't let Mystery Babylon change your name. Don't drink any of their wine. Because, you know, the wine is written right in chapter 18 there. And we don't want that wine. And we don't want to eat any of their meat, because their meat is different from the meat we're supposed to have with the Lord. And that's just how words can give you life or death, build you up or cut you down, destroy you. So there's a Babylon out there, and the head wound that happens to the Roman Empire is going to be healed in the iron and clay. So we don't want to be part of any iron and clay. And they've been working on this iron and clay for a long time, ever since the Europeans went and discovered all the nations and mixed with them. So, and you know, they fought over pepper and nutmeg. So now it's other stuff. So, you know, it's James chapter 5. And before 5 is 4, where there's the war. 5 is the merchandise. 3 is bitter words, or sweet words. But sweet words are blessed words and not cursed words. And they won't give you the 5 war and fighting of killing over the merchandise in chapter 5. And plus, you know, you're supposed to have faith with works. So, and you're not supposed to call your brother common. And when you get tempted, you have a way out in James chapter 1. So if you get tempted, you have a way out, because we know what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse, I think it's 5. We cast down reasonings. And chapter 2, of course, is we don't call our brothers and sisters common. We don't say, oh, go away till you learn something and then come back. You know, we treat our brothers and sisters better than that. We are supposed to love each other. And we also, in chapter 3, we speak the sweet words, not the curse, not the bitter words. There's a really good verse in chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 20, that covers that very well. And when they start a war, it's usually coming from the mouth first. And that's what chapter 4, you know, about war and fighting, you know. Adultery is you fight against God's word, you know. So we don't want to do that, you know. I know they're not, adultery, I don't think it's listed in the fruits of the flesh, but it's pretty close to fornication. Instead of just saying God's word has no meaning, it has, you fight against God's word. And of course, at the end of the fourth chapter, it gets into some sort of a narrative about merchandising, and then chapter 5 has more of it. So what do they usually fight over? Vasco da Gama found the route around Africa, and they fought over pepper. It's pretty bad, you know. Back in those days, you went to a diner and they only had salt on it, no pepper. and nutmeg too. and cloves, you know. So just look at your spice rack. They killed people over that stuff. And that's the iron mixing with the clays for 500 years now. Anyways, and they made colonies about it. You know, they started to kill each other over it too. So, you know, it was a Portuguese colony. Then it's a British colony. So, you know, it's all about taste, I guess. That's why we have to taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. It's more than pepper and nutmeg. So I'm just putting it that way because some people want a lot of taste with the new products they have nowadays. which they're fighting over, and of course this wonderful screen we're on here. So we understand now that those electric cars are important too. Solar panels, windmills. Oh yeah, gotta have it. It's amazing what they'll do for it. So that's James, all the five chapters. That's why they had to kill him so soon in the book of Acts. So I'm not being sarcastic here, even though it sounds like it, nor am I a headhunter after anyone, nor do I want to judge anyone. But people need to be saved from this, because that's what we're supposed to do. We are in 3:17. Think not that I come to judge the world. I came not to judge, but to save. But if they don't want to hear how to get saved from this, if they don't want to be in fear of God from this kind of stuff, then how can they possibly come to God? So that's a very simple and easy explanation, actually, just with the book of James, the letter of James. So that's what I saw anyway, and that's a prophecy of what's going on and has been going on big time for the last 500 years, much more big time. Now it's the same narrative, it's the same old thing. Just this time we have something that's united in a certain country, and it has to do with a lot of different Gentile places, and just trying to word it in such a way so that, and it was really never united. I mean, there was, while it was on paper still, they were at war. And I don't think they were ever united. And of course, we all know what happened when they try to unite all the religions too. So, this just, the religions were never united. So, you know, I'm in this country because they weren't. I think we all are. Because nasty things happened over there in that continent we used to come from. And now we're here. And we mixed with the people that were here. Because there were people here when our ancestors came. So it's not that boat they came out of when they came to this continent. It's the boat they came out of when we were only eight people. They had a covenant there with God, and it's pretty much the same one, because he took care of that one, and he took care of Abraham's, and he takes care of Jesus too, and the covenant we have through him. So that's just a bit of a saying there, and just trying to make it simple in case someone does listen that comes on and search the site, finds the items. Only God can correct the people. Only God can bring life to people. Only God can grant repentance. Only God can make you diligent to have the faith all the way through to the love. To have the love all the way through to the self-control. To have all the nine gifts of the Spirit, to have all the blessings. So I pray, Father, that you would open a door for my brethren to speak your word, to speak it in power, with the power of your Holy Spirit, which is omnipresent. And forgive us, Father, for trying to figure out how to get into this omnipresent Holy Spirit, since you evidently are omnipresent. And Father God, through the blood of the Lamb also, we thank you, Father, for your glory, for this new life that lights the way for us, that gives us that particular, peculiar people that shines in the darkness. And we pray, Father, for all seven lights to burn brightly in us and to be fed with all your bread of life that comes down from heaven. And it's still coming down from heaven now. We're in a wilderness. We find the bread. You tell us the bread automatically. Sometimes we search it out. And that's why we ask, we seek, and we knock. And we even ask for your Holy Spirit. And your being the good Father, give us the Holy Spirit as much as we need it. And we thank you for all things, Father. We thank you for your word that cleanses us and sanctifies us. And we thank you for this word that even brings new life to people. And this omnipresent Holy Spirit. It's just right there. Anywhere you go, everywhere you be, it's there. So I don't understand why it's so hard to find for us, Father. But we have the light of understanding because you've given it to us. It's omnipresent. It's available. Well, open this door for us. We've heard of your Apostle Paul asking for an open door. The door has to be open. You're the one who knocks, Father. And you're the one who opens the door. You're the one who prepares the way for them. No one can come unto Jesus unless you draw them, Father. So we ask, Father, for the ones we love, the ones that are closest to us. We ask, Father, for the ones that are particularly close neighbors, too. I pray, Father, that it would come to pass. And I thank you for this, Father, because it is finished and it is done. It is finished and it is done. You told me so, and I have access to all your promises and your power. All glory and honor unto you, Father. Father God, you're amazing. You're all powerful and almighty. We look at your creation through a telescope and see all these stars and the heavenly bodies. We look to go for walks in the park, in the forest, and see the beauty of your creation. We look also, Father, to the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ to see a creation there. And we also look for a future creation when this body has been fully filled and we get our new bodies in heaven. The creation will be finished then, Father, and we will cast our crown before you. Lord, give us this crown to cast before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. And that's your nature, character, and authority. That's your mind, will, and emotion. Praise your holy name. Glory to the name of the Father and to the name of Jesus Christ that resides in us, not by our doing, but by your. We're sufficient in you, and we do not commend ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. If it seems like I'm sleeping, I'm not. I'm just resting just a little bit. My eyes are resting. They've been open all day. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer or a testimony? Oh, I got a testimony. Glory to God. This is a good one, too. I'm telling you what, they lined up and they all got in. No, I'm just kidding. Today, I was out at the Helico Broadcast Park, small park. I love to go out there because there's not many people out there. But today I went out there and there was a busload of folks out there. But anyway, I got away from them under a big walnut tree and sitting over there reading my Bible and praying. And they all left. And then, so I got up and started walking around and praying and doing the things that I do while I'm down there. And I see this older gentleman. And he was actually, I was going back up to the truck to go home. And I saw him and I recognized him. I said, John, is that you? He said, yeah, that's me. I said, my name is Michael. You remember me? No, I don't remember you. He's an older guy. He's way older than I was. I think he was 78. Anyway, I got to talking with him. I said, what's wrong with your leg? I remember he said something last time I was talking to him about his knees. And he was just barely shifting along, just kind of like a China woman, you know how they, you know, like that. And, he said, well, my knees are blown out and I have trouble walking because of my knees. I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I've been a Christian since I was a kid. I said, awesome. I said, do you believe the word of God? Is the word of God. He looked at me like a funny look, you know, like, uh-oh, here it comes. One of those kind of looks. I said, no, I said, it says in Mark, and I just went ahead and quoted Mark 11:23 and 24 to him, and I said, let me give you my testimony, and I gave him my testimony. He was a Baptist, by the way, so I knew I had to do some talking here, and told him that I was a Baptist. I saved in a Baptist, and went through all of that with him, and now I finally asked him, I said, John, you want me to pray for you that your knees be healed? He said, yeah, that sounds good. I said, okay, we will. And so I put my hand on him and just commanded those knees to be healed and not the pain to go. And I said, now, come walk with me. So we went walking. We went walking, and I told him, I said, now, your faith has to be that you thank God, whether you feel it or not, you thank God for your healing. That's what it says, is to call those things that are not as though they were. And I went through all of that with him. And I said, you understand? He said, yeah, I understand. I said, okay, well, then you start thanking and praising God. And you know, I had to go then, and I went back and got my truck, and he was walking toward his car, and he wasn't taking those little Chinese steps like some older people do. He was taking big, long steps. And I said, praise God. I reached out the window. I said, praise God, you're healed, boy. And he just waved at me and smiled real big. So I believe John, Lord, I thank you that John's healed, and that's gonna change his old outlook. They came out of that Baptist doctrine, and I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that John is healed. Old John is healed, and he won't have to use that cane or that walker anymore, in Jesus' name. Okay, praise God. That was it. Anybody else? Do what? Was that you, Debbie?
I said, praise the Lord. I said, just praise the Lord. I wanted to say praise the Lord to your testimony.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? How many of you heard of John Rich? I know Missy and Judy and Barbara have. Possibly Debbie. But anyway.
Yeah.
John Rich is a Christian country and Western, or country singer, I should say. And he's a Christian. And the Lord told him he wanted him to, Missy, you might have to help me or Judy, sing a song. I wanted him to do a song from Revelation. I don't even remember where it was in Revelation, but he told him the scriptures that he wanted him to make a song out of. And he did. And that's the song I'm going to play tonight. It's called The Revelation Song by John Rich. But was the interesting thing about it, it went viral. Yeah, it went viral. And matter of fact, it competed with one of the, what's that guy's name? Eminem? Eminem, if you even know who that is. I think he's a big rapper, isn't he?
Something like that. Well, he was saying about that Eminem's latest album has these title songs of Antichrist, Evil, and
Lucifer.
Lucifer. Yeah. crazy stuff. And he said that his song right now is in the top five of the most played songs presently.
It's in the top five in all genres. In every category, it's number five. It's at least number five, and some of them it's number one. That's what he said. And she froze up. Yep, she froze up. In the name of Jesus, we command that communications, what communications to be normal. Maybe not normal, better. In Jesus' name, amen. But at least her mouth's not open. Praise God. Hey, Anna. Okay, y'all ready to listen to John? Okay, I think I got it here. Just a minute. Yeah.
Don't you want to wait for Missy to come back?
Well, we can, yeah. Barbara, thank you.
That would be nice.
Yeah, she's heard it. She might want to get out here and do a little dance or something. But I don't guess I've ever heard of him. They say he's pretty popular. I don't listen to country and western anymore. I used to.
I've never heard of him before until Missy sent that, and I listened to his testimony or the interview that him and Tucker did. That was really incredible what he said. But yeah, I never heard of him before.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard of him, but I didn't know who he was.
How long has the song been out? Does anyone know?
I don't know. Oh, just a little bit. It actually went viral. It went viral on his podcast. And then, of course, he moved it around to music stations and stuff himself. He doesn't have a big manager or anything like that. He does it all himself, and he's pretty popular. He said his dad was a preacher. He was a preacher. He was a street preacher, actually. Okay, Missy, you unfrozen? Yeah, I see your head moving. Praise God, you didn't get frozen with your mouth open.
Our electricity had a bleep, so the internet went out briefly, and it was just resetting.
So. Okay, that's no problem. We waited on you. Barbara made us wait on you. We're going to do it anyway. Okay, let's see if we can get her going here. Anyway, this is John Rich with Revelation. Good gracious, how many things have I got open?
I don't know if Michael told you this, but the angel in the song is supposed to be the Archangel Michael.
Fine looking fella, too. All right, let's see if we can get it.
In the flames, the people cursed his name, bowed at the altar of the father of lies. But there's a number to their days and all their evil ways. The Lord's gonna turn away from all their cries. Oh, revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train running. Coming back again. Brimstone upon their heads, millstones around their necks. They'll feel the shaking when the trumpet sounds. And no matter where they hide, there'll be nowhere to run. When Jesus puts ground. I can feel it coming like a dark train running. So get ready, 'cause the king is coming, the king is coming back again. Lightning flash through a force of will, and their teeth are gnashing. He'll set fire to the evil ones and all the wickedness they've done. There'll be no time to turn around as the stars begin to hit the ground, and the mountains fall and the veil is torn with the sounding of that seventh horn. Cold revelation, I can feel it coming like a dark train. Before his days were done, the king is coming, and it won't be long.
Well, I like that song. That's a good one. That's a keeper. Yeah, Ben, you want to sing a little of that?
I can't sing that well, but he sounds like Johnny Cash. God's gonna cut you down.
Yeah, he could be. He's got a deep voice. He's a real good guy. Real good guy, seems like. Oh, Joe missed it. Yeah, missed it.
I don't know what all Michael said while I was on the blink. But I would highly recommend watching his interview with Tucker Carlson, because it is, it's like riveting. I did not expect to watch the whole thing, but I just couldn't stop watching it because it was so good. I was so encouraged by it. Did you tell him what it was he spoke about?
Just very briefly, very briefly. Can go ahead.
Well, he brought out about the fallacy of pre-trib rapture. He read a bunch of scripture in Matthew and Second Thessalonians, I believe it is. But anyway, it's just, it was really good. I was just, wow, praise you, Lord.
Yeah, Barbara, go ahead and post it if you want to. I tell you what I did. I put that thing on I speeded it up to 1.5 times and listened to it, because it's about 1.5 hours long. Yeah, I can understand it, Dan. I've been listening to you. Yeah, I could understand it. But he's really a good and articulate. And he talked about his dad, and that's what I enjoyed. He talked about his dad being a preacher for 30-something years, 34 years or something like that, I forget. But he was only a street preacher. He was a street preacher. And he said the reason he wanted to be a street preacher is because He got down to the people that needed the help the most. And he has seen grown men that were evil all their life just bow down. And he said his dad was real good at talking to people, that he could talk really well and convince anybody about the Word of God. And but for the whole time that he was a Christian, he was a street preacher. I don't know if he's still alive. And I'm telling you, he was a street preacher down in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Yeah, that's a tough place. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but I have. That'd be a tough place. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, he said for 34 years straight, his dad would go down there and people would spit on him and all kinds of stuff. And I don't remember exactly the details of it, but there was this one guy that's just this big guy that came up to him and was just listening to him. And he got on his knees and just repented and believed in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And he asked his dad one time about preaching in the church. He said, well, that's not for me. He said, that's for the big wigs, the big cats. He didn't really like being inside, you know. And the way he talked about it is, you know, kind of a, he didn't want to be a mega church. His son said he was a good talker. He was very good at conversation. He said if he had been in a church, he probably could have grown it to a mega church size if he wanted to. That's how good a talker he was. He knew the word. And that's what's key, was knowing the word. And knowing the word, yeah. I think that's it. You know how to say it. Is that the one with Tucker Carlson, Barbara? Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay. Well, all right. All right. Anybody got anything you want to pray about or talk about tonight? Uh-oh, got some news here. Got some news here from breaking news. President Joe Biden has reportedly agreed to step down as the Democratic nominee for President of the United States as early as this weekend, sources tell political analyst Mark Halperin. Biden will also reportedly endorse an open convention and not Vice President Kamala. Oh, my, that's huge. Charlie Kirk says Biden will announce his withdrawal as soon as Sunday, followed by an open Democrat convention between Kamala and three or more rivals. Biden will not endorse his vice president and will not resign the presidency. Huh. Okay. Well, that's done. I figured something like that would probably happen. I didn't know he wasn't going to endorse Kamala. Apparently he knows that, you know, she may not be qualified. She's not qualified to be a vice president. She's not a citizen. Anyway. Lord, we just thank you for straightening this mess out. And we thank you, Father, that Trump's going to be in there in any respect, over and above these, whoever comes in. I don't know who else they could put in there that's not dirty. But Lord, we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name, getting somebody in there. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that Trump, whoever's in there, can't beat Trump. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that. I wish I could tell you all this stuff about him. He's such an awesome man. Such an awesome man. Yeah, Julie.
I want to pray too. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for this news. And I also pray, God, a hedge of protection around President Trump and those around him. And we just cast down every evil work of darkness, every plan, device of the enemy for any false flags, any kind of wrongful doing that they may have in this, whatever their evil minds are conceiving, Lord, we bind it. We command failure to it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ask or think, because you see everything. You see the hearts and minds of men and what this is all about. So we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for watching over this election, and that your plan and your purpose will be fulfilled in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Lord, that we're going to have us a good show now. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. It is another little twist here. Let's pray. Father, in the name that's above every name, the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would expose all the corruption, all of the evilness out of this government in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the entity, the demon, the principality, over our Congress, State Department, and all the rest of them. In the name of Jesus, we break your power off of this government. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that your angels are out there right now exposing these people for who they really are, and that no one that's dirty would want to be as a nominee. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you are helping to clean up this government. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anybody got anything you want to comment on, talk about? Whoa. They say the Biden administration is under investigation for the assassination attempt. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We knew that's probably what was going on. But I won't say much. All right. The Garza News Agency. Go ahead, Missy.
We know the Lord's going to raise up the man child, you know, and all. But, you know, John Rich spoke out about the pre-trib rapture, and I just want to pray about that even before the man child, Father, that you just keep bringing people out, Lord, the unlikelies, the nobodies, you know. John Rich is a nobody in a sense of people consider, you know, music. Yeah, except for the music, but he was an unlikely source that I think a lot of people didn't realize would come out and speak. so strongly. So Father, I just ask you to raise up more people, people that are not in the limelight or even not even preach what's considered a preacher, just like John, Lord. We're all supposed to be priests. And I just praise you and I thank you for him, Lord. And but I ask you to raise up more people that people will take notice and listen to and check out the word for themselves. Just like John said, he says, don't take my word for it. You go look in the word yourself. You read it yourself. And I just thank you, Lord. I just ask that I send the angels to put that in your elect's YouTube stream, YouTube feed, Lord, and for people to get a hold of that and prompt them to listen to that, Lord. People that of your elect that need to hear that, Lord. And even though we all know the truth about the pre-trib and all, even your people, Lord, that to encourage them, even though they may know that truth, Lord, because I know it. It just greatly encouraged me, and I thank you, Lord, that your truth wins. It always wins, Lord. We know who wins. You win over the lies, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through you. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, isn't it? A lot. I'm talking about a lot. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for exposing all the criminals out there in the government. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that you're doing that even as we speak. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? We're not going to talk any more politics. Nope, ain't going to happen. Anybody got a question that they come across or some revelation that they come across that you'd like to speak about?
I have something. That's
okay, Debbie.
It has to do with some of the things that John Rich did say, and I just want to question, I'm questioning how important these things are. I mean, they're the regular false beliefs that most have, you know, don't know the real truth that we know. Like, he doesn't, he's caught up in a lot of false beliefs. I caught that. Although he's correct about the priest, no pre-trib rapture. He doesn't see, he thinks he mentioned, you can tell he doesn't see, of course, the corporate antichrist, which everyone doesn't. It's called the corporate false prophet, or the mark that he knows about, the, you know, the mark on the hand and the head, like it's in the shoulder, like it's going to be a literal mark. And because of that belief, they might make it that, you know, but we know it's all spiritual. So I'm just wondering how important these false things that someone gets to be looked up to, believe, and brings forth, you know, and if it could be detrimental. I mean, it can, I in some way. I just get concerned when I always hear that, you know, through these things spoken that are not true. He thinks he mentioned the Antichrist being, what was it now? The son of perdition, the Antichrist being the son of perdition. I caught him say that. Like, you know, the people hear these things, and it's like, I just thought someone could maybe say something about what you think about how important these things are, and detrimental in a way, you know, to those who are listening to these facts. Because all these things I mentioned, I heard him bring each one of those out in some form where he's referring to them. And it's like, you know, we want truth to be out there. We don't want these things that are false to be spread out there. But of course, we do know that most of Christianity does believe these things. So we really can't get away from that. But I was wondering what everyone thinks about that as far as how harmful it is to new believers. And
I can tell you one thing that he said that will open up a lot of minds. And that is, he said that the pre-tribulation rapture is a lie and that a lot of people will die and go to hell because of it. He did say that.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, that was good.
And he said that they will take the mark because they don't think that the rapture has happened yet. Therefore, can't be the mark. And that right there probably opened up a lot of people's minds, eyes to see and go study the Bible for themselves and find out the truth. And I think that was probably one of the best things that he could have said about it. And because that pre-tribulation rapture is going to hurt a lot of people.
Yes, it is. I know. Yeah, I thought that was really great, too. Yeah. I just wonder about these other things. If they're, you know, if they're not important, of course, truth is important. All truth is important. So I just wondered about them. But, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I was scared about that.
Go ahead, Julie.
Anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Debbie. I haven't listened to the interview yet, but I plan to. What gives me a lot of peace about all that, because there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't true. You know, there's a lot of false doctrines out there that people are in error about, and, you know, they don't have all of it yet, and they prophesy in part, or they have the gift of prophecy. I don't know that this man's spirit-filled or not. You know, maybe he is, maybe, you know, who knows, but, you know, I believe in God's sovereignty. Every one of us had to be delivered out of, you know, doctrines that we thought, you know, we believed in. And then we got the truth and we're like, okay, I repent. And I believe and trust God in that for his elect that they will all, they'll all repent, you know, and they'll all hear the truth. They're all, cause that's how we've been praying. At least, you know, I know that we have been praying that, you know, God would open up their eyes and give them a revelation of the knowledge of the truth, you know, and they'll be seeking Jesus. And God works all things after the counsel of his will and for his good pleasure. So, yeah, there's a lot of false stuff out there. But, you know, like you said, I believe it'll cause people to seek, you know, seek after the truth for themselves and pray, you know. And we know our prayers have been heard, that kind of thing, that God's going to hear our prayers for people. And anyhow, I just believe. So I was getting worried about, you know, some of my family members, about what they were thinking too. And, you know, we were all deceived at some point about what we thought was true until we got straightened out. And God's merciful and gracious. And, you know, he's not wishing that anyone perish, you know, and we know his elect won't perish, but they'll get it. God's been working in their hearts. I know that he has been. And, you know, we pray for this man, you know, that this John Rich, Lord, that you get him filled with the Holy Spirit if he's not, and that you give a deeper and greater revelations of things that he needs to know and understand, and to the gifts you've given him, Lord, that they'd be blessed, and that you would increase those gifts in him, Lord. And if he's not supposed to teach, that you would help him not to be doing that. And just like you do with all of us, Lord, bring us correction and let us heed those things. And I thank you, Lord, for helping us all just to trust you, to believe you, to cast down all these false doctrines and keep doing the warfare against them. And God will, God will bring it all out into the light, because that's what he does. Those who sat in darkness saw a great light, and you know, we're believing that, you know, the light's coming, the man child's coming, and he's going to expose, you know, the false apostate, you know, Christianity, the leaders, they're all going down. They're going to be, you know, proven to be what they are, and their sins are going to be uncovered, and they will be put to shame. And there's going to be a great turning away from those people too. Thank you, Lord, for your timing in all these things, and encourage us in those things, Father. And we hear things that are wrong, but we know the truth, and we just teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray according to these things, Father, so that, you know, our prayers are effective against the enemy, because it is a deceiver that we're praying, you know, that we're fighting, waging war against, is the deceiver. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. You know,
amen.
Even though he has some, can y'all hear me? Okay. Even though he has some error in it, God is using him in a mighty, mighty way. And that's what we have to look at. He'll come to the truth. Somebody will send him Hidden Manner or Sovereign God or something like that, and he'll get back online. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to say amen to what Julie said. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry when you're on the phone here doing this. But anyway, okay. Thank you, Julie and Michael. That's all good. True.
You know, I was telling Ben earlier about this certain verse in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." You know, every single church that I went to said they had it all right. And, you know, when you grow up in a church, you know, you get what they say there, and you get to overcome something if you come out of one and go into another one. And I was specifically showing this inwardly. You know, they talk about the inward man that you're supposed to have. You know, we think not, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewing day by day. So we have a renewing from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's according to his name, which is the Word of God. And we are supposed to abide in him. So, you know, I'm not the best teacher or anything, but knowledge says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about a different mind. That's where your forehead is, a different judgment, and they don't speak the same thing. So which narrative is right? Because they all have their own Bible schools too. So we got to get back to the Word. We have to repent. We have to be kind of like those people in the book of Acts. I forget which city he went to, and these people were a little more. They looked up the stuff Paul was telling them in the Word of God, the Bereans, I think they were called. And, you know, they just found out what he was saying wasn't true. And, you know, I don't know. I would have to say that Paul didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or the book of Acts, because he was living it. And we have to live those words too, because living is the Word of God and active. Where is it supposed to be active? Anyways, we also have, like, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, speak the same mind. You know, if you get stamped in your forehead, you got a mark on there. You know, and if it's not the right word, it's not the right spirit, it's not the right blood. You know, you don't want anything that's foreign. If you have polluted water, you're going to have polluted blood, and it ain't going to be holy, I'll tell you that much. But sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. Also in Galatia chapter 1, you know, it speaks about a different narrative, a different gospel. And he even says, you know, not that there is a different gospel, but there are some people speaking it. So this gospel is the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. So what teaching is this? What narrative is this? You know, we need to have the word that builds up and builds up in love, not tears down in unleavened bread. You know, we have a knowledge that builds up, doesn't what's the word for it? Doesn't tear you down, doesn't well, it's a pharisaical substance to it, where it puffs up. And no, the build up puffed up scenario is right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we go for the love to be built up. We have a prophecy that's supposed to be edifying, building us up, you know, edification, exhortation, consolation, you know, and we have this Father God who sends this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is omnipresent. It would be, as I was taught, that thing right before your eyeball. You wouldn't see anything else. So that's a pretty good seer. That's a pretty good sight you're supposed to have. You know, chapter 115 of Psalms speaks of an idol that had different kind of eyes and ears and a nose and a mouth, you know, and they had feet and hands, you know, but, you know, they didn't know how to walk. They didn't feel anything with their hands. So we have new hands, new eyes, new ears, a new nose, and a new mouth. And, you know, how does the mouth attach to the eyes? Well, there's a scripture verse for that. And it's, you know, it's, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And do you hear with the ears? Like I was showing also that everybody had eyes and ears in Jesus' day, but they didn't see him or hear him. And, you know, Simeon, he met up with baby Jesus. And he said some really nice stuff to us, that this baby is for the rising and falling of many. And he's a sign that's spoken against. And in chapter 8 of Isaiah, there is a sign there too. And it's mentioned as being his people. So we have to not speak against the sign of Jesus. And we have to remember how we first heard. And we have to remember those early days too of our life and walk. And there's no denominations. It's against scripture. I just told you too, you know. Well, they don't even know what creation is. Anyway, creation is not not to get professors or teachers upset, but I was showing a narrative there of some students who were like 12, 13, telling their teacher what they just did. Some of these more conservative type of Christians were shocked, and they corrected themselves after that, and they never did it again. So that's a good thing too. And you see, you don't send them away as if they're little boys and girls because to go and learn something, because they learned something. Everyone is of value in the body of Christ. Is this one body? If it's one body, then it can't be multi bodies. So one body is a one body. One spirit is a one spirit. One hope of the hope of your calling is one hope. You know, like I was told, you know, if you have the remote in your hand, if it ain't attached to the TV, the hope is in the remote. You hit the button, unless the batteries are dead, but God's pretty powerful. And the TV comes on and the channel changes. But another narrative I was told was you turn the thermostat and you put it on 19 degrees for the air conditioner to come on. And unless it doesn't turn the air, if there's no machine attached to it, if there's no furnace or air conditioner, you ain't going to have the heat go down. So the hope is in the thermostat to be attached to the faithful cold air conditioner on the outside of the house and attached to your furnace to blow through. And don't forget the filter, the things out. Change the filter. Because you don't want bad air. And bad air is a different air altogether. You know, it's contrary winds, you know. And your ship is the gospel ship, and it has to be God's wind, God's Holy Spirit wind, God's air, God's leading by the three variables of spirit, water, and blood. But you need a light on too. So you got to get the light on in the front of the ship and at the back of the ship so that you know where you're going. Just like thy word is a lamp unto your feet. So with all that, you know, how many different lamps are there? As far as I know, if you're a child of light, the light has a source. And they can't have a different knowledge or wisdom or understanding or teaching or the fear of the Lord, which is really lacking nowadays. You should be shaken. And the strength of the Lord is another light that we honor from God the Father. And then there's life and holiness, the Spirit of God as that central light that goes off in two directions to feed those other lights that I spoke of from the Lord, not from man. Man has a philosophy, which is anything you ever learned in school, but it won't get you anywhere. But hopefully you'll learn to read and how to count. Because you need that. And a vain deceit, a tradition of man, earthly elements, voluntary humility. That's, I've got to slap my face for that one. Sometimes, you know, and it, worship of angels, it's not the messenger you worship. It's not the guy behind the pulpit. If he's speaking in agreement with the Father and Jesus Christ, who is the name called the Word of God, then you can listen to him. But if they all have a different narrative, then who's right? So that's the that has to be really addressed. Because there are no denominations. I just spoke one spirit, one body, one spirit, one hope of the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe we got to twist all the Christians' arms that whenever they say that word faith from the book of Acts onward, just put in Christ Jesus after it. I don't understand what it is there. You know, you got a new life in Christ Jesus. So that's what you heard. He was with you, and then he comes in you. And of course, the last one is one baptism and one God and Father who's over all, in all, and through all. I'm gesturing over the top of my head. His banner over me is love. Okay. In all and through all. So this love has to be in you and through you. It's an inward man. It's a new life. And how many lives can there be? You know, if Jesus is the bread of God, which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, is there 40,000 lives here or as many as there are narratives for the denominations? This is the word of life. People have to read from the Lord to be blessed with that blessing, to get into his word, whether it be for the new person, a few minutes, or for the longest time, or any age of a person too, you know, from a person who just learns how to read, he needs something to read. What are you going to get him to read? You know, and But to the person who's an avid reader, you know, God is the one who raised the literacy level of this planet. God is the one who made sure that his word was published in every language for every nation of all the nations. So what are we going to do? Are we just going to avoid this word? God couldn't use anyone to print. He's been using me for 35 years in one place and 4 years in another. I was a printer by the employers and the schooling I went to take. But there is an ink that writes this word upon your heart to circumcise your heart, and it's the Holy Spirit that writes it there. And it's omnipresent. You can tell as soon as someone speaks to you. Is this guy speaking the word? Is he speaking something of light or darkness? Something of righteousness or iniquity? Something of Christ or Belial? Belial is a curse, you know. Belial is that spirit Hophni and Phinehas had. They had lots of girlfriends, you know. They must have been handsome-looking guys. They snuck them into the Holy of Holies. I guess Eli was a handsome guy, too. So, you know, the, like father, like son, you know, but he fell off his throne. Anyway, we want Christ and the portion. You know, like, you want portion. Well, think of it as a piece of cake, you know. Do you want a portion of a believer? Or a portion of an unbeliever. Portion of a believer, which is also the word for faith. We worship the one who's called the name called the Word of God. We worship because worship is in spirit and in truth, which is attached to faith. They correlate. And it's attached to belief. So that's what we need. We have to have that worship of this in spirit and truth, as it says. So next time you go pick up some water by the well, make sure it's declared still clean water. And even a woman can carry it to you. And this woman has to be somewhat corrected in chapter 12 of Revelation. And that's what this woman has to be pursued. And God has a place set for this woman so that it won't be a multiverse. It'll be one verse, God's verse. And that's what we need. So I would address people that way. It's just, I need God to open the door. And I again, I'm not a headhunter. I'm not here to do a witch hunt. I would stress that you need salvation from the things that some of the things people have been taught, and I would pray that the Lord would grant them this, because we need to rest in the Lord for all of this. We need to trust in Him, because He's the only one for us, I would like things exposed, and I'd like the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, everything to be done decently and in order. And I would like for things, for justice to come, but the Lord's justice is what I speak of. And I would like also for love and mercy. You know, mercy is a blessing too. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy intertwines with gentleness, of the fruit of the Spirit, with goodness, with another fruit of the Spirit, with faithfulness, another fruit of the Spirit, and with kindness and peace. You know, the two are made one, thus making peace. So how many ones can you have? You know, there's only one narrative to this one. So glory to God. Glory to God. If this Spirit of God is omnipresent, and I believe God wants to share a glory with us that's omnipresent. So praise God. And glory to God.
Amen. All right, Missy, are you awake?
you were saying about something to the effect that maybe someone will send John Rich hidden manna. Well, I left a comment on the interview and the song about just to and I put the link for hidden manna there, and you know, saying that it's filled with a lot of scripture about end times and stuff and Revelation and all. So anyway, so thank you, Father, that the people that you want to see that will see that. And I'm trying to find his website, and it's weird, this stupid thing keeps coming up. I don't know what it is. If there's anything sabotage or nefarious stuff going on with his website, we command it to stop in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And have his website working properly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
I think he gave his website in that interview.
Yeah, but it's something weird's coming up.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for leading him to it, and that he'll get a hold of it and be the Berean that he needs to be in Jesus' name. And that is to get the truth and get the truth out. Let him be just like his father. In Jesus' name. Amen. An end time warrior for God. All right. Anyone else? Man, it seems to be a lot of news lately, doesn't it? A lot of news. It just, I don't even try to keep up to it. Let's talk about something here. What is the son of perdition? Now, we've been in that. We've been in the son of perdition. What is the son of perdition? SOP. Yeah, Bessie.
Well, it's a lot of different things you can say about it, but son of perdition is one who was a Christian that fell away and sets himself up in the temple of God as God. You know, he's his own God. He does what he wants to do, and he's a persecutor of his brethren. He's twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Usually factious. I don't know. Those are just some things that come to my mind.
What does that word perdition mean? I'll tell you what it means, because I might have got it looked up here. Perdition means loss of soul, eternal damnation, hell, utter ruin. So it's like she said, it's somebody that is reprobate, has been reprobated, just like Judas was, just like Somebody give me another example. Okay, Missy.
I think you could say Absalom was a son of perdition.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy. Missy. Julie, you don't look a thing like Missy.
No, this is her sister. I'm her sister. I would say it's somebody who proves not to bear the fruit of Christ. You know, they prove not to, you know, they might sound like a Christian. They might, you know how to talk and that kind of thing, but they're not walking. You know, the person doesn't walk as he walked, and they're not a doer of the word. And they're like somebody who, it says in 1 John, they went out from us because they were not of us. You know, they proved to be a tare. They proved to be, you know, somebody that, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. So it's just somebody who doesn't continue to go in the ways of the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. They're antichrist. They are an antichrist. They have an antichrist spirit, which is, you know, or they have another Jesus, and they have, you know, strong self-will. They have, you know, they're in rebellion. You know, they're their own God. You know, that scripture says they sit in the temple and you know, temple unto God, because it's making themselves to be God. So I think everything that Missy said and whatever, you know, that's all that what you said, and time will tell who's who, I guess, you know, it's he who endures to the end, you know, with us. So the fruit, they have the fruit, a fruit of the barren. Amen. That's all I got.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. You must unmute in order for us to be able to hear you.
There's a pretty good parable. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
There's a pretty good parable in Luke chapter 16. The parable of the dishonest manager. Okay, he's a steward. And there's some stuff here that I read this once, and I'm just kind of wondering if this could be a parable of a person who's not really handling his Lord's stuff correctly. You know, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused to him as wasting his goods. You know, almost sounds like that goodness that you're supposed to have, you know. And he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear of thee? Render the account of thy stewardship, for thou canst no longer be steward." And of course, we know the whole story. And, you know, he goes to his fellow servants under this same Lord, and apparently coerces them to do bad stuff, you know, to change how much they owe, you know. And of course, we know that the debt is paid, but and I look at this and I go, well, he's got unrighteous men, you know, and you know, this if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous men, and how will I commit to you trust of the true riches? 16:11. So, you know, it goes all the way down until you get to the last verse and it says, no domestic can serve two lords, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. So, you know, a lot of people think that mammon is money, and it is the root of all evil. But, you know, Shepherd of Hermas, he was apparently a person who had a merchandise. He had some sort of storefront, but he did it right with God. At least he did the best he could. And, of course, when you get down to the 15th, the 14th verse of 16, and the Pharisees, being lovers of money, heard all these things and scoffed at it. So I was just kind of looking at some of these verses for a steward who has a lord that he's supposed to look after things. And you know, there's a prosperity kind of thing there sometimes, you know, with the Pharisaical spirit that puts you under a different word and makes you change your how much you owe. You know, you can't really do that if you know, these are all people in apparently who has the same Lord, and they're supposed to have a covenant of some sort with this Lord, and they're not really being forthright with their Lord, and he's causing some problems there, you know. And of course, it's almost like poetic the way you get that verse that the Pharisees scoffed at them because they were lovers of money. And anyway, the 11th verse there in Luke 16, you know, it is important to have a good look at. And this son of perdition is involved in something lawless anyway. So just like some of the stuff in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as was mentioned. But, you know, if you can change one of these Pharisees into a good guy, and we know it can be done because God can do all things. So he's got to be a good guy. He's got to handle the goods goodly. Okay. Goods is one of the fruits of the spirit. I sometimes think those words are in some sort of special order. What's right next to goodness but faithfulness? And before it is gentleness. So I'm not sure if that's the order. I'd have to look at it again. But these are attributes of an omnipresent glory of God, Holy Spirit, an anointing that flows through the body of Christ. That's the way it has to be said, because it's the truth. And an anointing that overcomes, just like Jesus overcame when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was led to be tested by the Holy Spirit against the devil. Praise and glory to God. And glory to his wonderful word, spirit, and life. Amen.
That L-U-V is a ticket right there. If you got love, you won't be judging. You'll be encouraged. Be encouraging. Go ahead, Andrew. Get the mute button. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
He found one, you know. You're on there, Ben.
All right. All right. Well, I just asked my dad, like, the people that Jude's talking about, are these examples of a son of perdition? It's all people that are prepped and unawares. murmurers, complainers, walking after their lusts. I even think it's somewhere it says they eat strange flesh.
Whoa.
And maybe he told us to eat his flesh. So if they're eating the strange flesh, I don't know what the heck they're eating, but it's strange.
Babylonish meat. The Babylonish meat and the Babylonish wine.
Yeah.
Don't get your name changed. That's all about a different change of your nature, character, and authority, your mind, your will, or your emotion. You know, the name includes everything because the one you receive is in Revelation 19:13, and his name is the Word of God. And everything has to do with the Word of God. So we don't want a name change. You know, there is a Babylon, right? And that's a golden head. Well, a head is attached to the arms and shoulders and a torso and legs and feet. And when the feet get finished, that's going to walk. And you ever notice that this big rock hits the feet first? Why didn't he aim for the head? You know, because the feet is a calendar of events that it has to come to the feet for. There's two elements there. They don't mix. But if you take iron and clay and heat it really, really hot, you can make a metal out of it. There has been some people who fashion swords out of this type of metal. And it's a pinkish color. And it's not suggested because it does weaken the metal and you have to know what you're doing. But you know, that the feet get knocked out first with the rock, and then the rest of the elements are knocked out. Those are the Colossians chapter 2, elements of the earth. And a 2 and 8, I think. Anyways, so I sort of lost track here. He's got a phone that yells at us every once in a while.
Another thing that my dad sort of brought up when I was reading in Acts, when Judas hung himself, he got a different land. He had a different land that he bought with silver. And so we got to think of that spiritually, that the types and shadows of the sun tradition in our day are going to be in the same spiritual land that Judas had. And not only that, there's no fruit in that land. There's just a dead guy. Maybe it's this twice dead guy. You know what I mean? I don't know. There's something that popped into my head. Mm-hmm. Types and shadows of this son of perdition guy. He's dead. He has no fruit. And he has a land that's not prosperous.
You know what?
What?
He was part of the covenant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was twice dead.
But he did start out right, but he didn't finish right.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Yeah, that's exactly right. He was with the disciple doing the same works as they were. But he had a messed up mind. He needed some deliverance.
I remember Isaac, the one who used to be here, when at the Last Supper, he took the sop, I think he said he had the whole Jesus before him, but he just wanted that little piece of bread and the little piece of wine that was in sopped up in that sop, and it reminded me of the sop, son of perdition. He could have had the whole Jesus. He could have had the proper fold of fruit. But he rejected it. He went below 30 degrees. And you don't want to go below 30. You want to go up to 100. You want to climb to the mountain. You want to climb up the mountain all the way to the top. And By faith, we stand in Christ Jesus. You know, and, we are partakers of Christ if, I-F, in faith. Okay. And, you know, he told a bunch of Hebrews this, that they had to be partakers of Christ. What can that possibly? And Peter agreed with him, you know, you're partakers of the divine nature. So what kind of other nature would you want? What kind of other life can you have to get to heaven? There isn't any other. You know, and how is it can, if there's one, there's one. There's not more than one. There's a very many who all claim to be the one, and they, only God can make what he's going to do one again. And that's what he's doing. He's going to make this one. He needs people to do this for him. And he, the nearest thing I can think of when I just said that is anyone who volunteers step forward, you know, and we're all soldiers. I'm pretty sure it says that we're soldiers, you know, and it don't matter if you're male or female in this army, you got to step forward. And he leads your foot forward. It's a walk. And if God's walking in you, and I got a verse for that, he said he would walk in you. You got to know where to step. You know, and he'll carry you sometimes too. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Son of Perdition, most of them were, most of them were part of the fellowship, so to speak. Started out real good, and it fell away. And it reminds me so much of the faction, the things that we have experienced here. The ones that were reprobated, that are no longer with us. It's just, it's heart-rendering. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was, when Andrew was talking, I was thinking of the scriptures too, where Jesus in John chapter 6 said, you know, he identified them as like, didn't I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil? He already knew that there was going to be one who was going to be in their midst that was not there. And I was thinking also, you know, the parable of the seed and the sower is only one out of four that went forth to bear fruit. So the odds are, you know, very few. You know, many are called and few are chosen. And I was thinking also that, you know, the Son of Perdition, you know, he was the one that actually betrayed Jesus. And, you know, there's ways we can betray Jesus. You know, we don't take his name, you know, if we take his name in vain, you know, and not really run after the Lord. And we've all, you know, look at Peter too, you know, he was that way. And, you know, God's merciful, but he knows who his elect are. And it just, there's also the other scripture came to my mind too is, there's only two men in the earth. Either you're in Christ or you're not. So just, it's just a time proves it. Time proves, you know, who's who over time. That's all. Really, that's kind of what I was thinking as we were talking. One of you is a devil. He was a devil. And Jesus said, you know, to the Pharisees and that group of, you know, people who are just looking to accuse him of everything and finding fault with, you know, trying to trap him in his words, and they're all about the law. And, you know, that's one thing, you know, that a lot of those people are, they're very legalistic about things and they're self-righteous and that kind of thing. But you know, he said, it's like, you are of your father, the devil. That's how he addressed them, you know. They didn't recognize them. Yeah, it's sad how many people have been with us and they're not here.
I've noticed through the years, you can tell when people start losing interest, they start moving back away from the fellowship. Happens every time. Every time. And it's sad to see. All right. Anyone else? This thing that this John Rich said, even though he doesn't know about the corporate body of the end time messengers, he is trying to bring forth this pre-tribulation rapture as something false, and it actually will wake up people, I believe, you know, in a way, because the words that he spake came from God, or he sang, I should say, came from God. And apparently that song is anointed for people to search out the scriptures for this end time prophetic time that we're in. At least that's my prayer anyway. I think if you take that song and go look up what's coming. Go ahead, Missy.
One thing in everything that he said that I was really thinking about that he doesn't directly address, but if you think about it, what he is saying is you can lose your salvation when he talks about the pre-trib and the mark of the beast. You can lose your salvation. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Because he said, because Christians believe in this pre-trib rapture, they're going to not realize that where they're at, and they're going to take the mark of the beast. And he plainly says it, you know. Your name is not in the book of life, and you will not be going to heaven.
You know, the thought just came to me, Missy. When somebody comes up with that phrase, I wonder what would happen if you said, who's going to take the mark of the beast? You know, well, I'm not going to be here for the mark of the beast. Oh, really? You know, because those that have... Go ahead, Judy.
The thought that just keeps coming back to me about that whole thing is, like when you said, you know, who's going to take the mark of the beast? And it's like, well, yeah, we're not going to be here for it. How do you know that? Well, we're not. You know, it's like, we wouldn't take it. And it's like, well, did you get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Did you get the vaccine? Why did you take the vaccine?
Yeah.
But what did they do with that vaccine? You couldn't go to work. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. You couldn't travel, you know, had all these things on there. What does that represent? I mean, that's just a type and a shadow of what it's going to be like. You know, that they're just ignorant, you know, and they don't trust and they don't know and they don't believe. And
well, the word tells us is allow no man to teach you, only the Spirit of God to teach you. And that's what we should be doing. Okay, looks like we're out of time. Praise God, Lord. We thank you for straightening out people's end time prophetic view, those of your elect, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that, Lord. Just straightening them out, getting them right on target, and bringing them in, Lord. I thank you for this revival that's fixing to start. And I thank you, Father, that we're ready for it, that we, that you would prepare our hearts, give us discernment and wisdom, Lord. Those two things that would be awesome. And we praise you in this end time ministry. We're going to need it. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody with a good night's sleep or a good day of work. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your will be done in our life. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second that we're walking. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we want you and nothing else but you. We give it all up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Good night.